This morning is taken from the book of Acts as we continue our journey through this book together today in chapter 13 and arriving in verse 23. We had seen last week Paul was in the city of Corinth where he was fearful and God had showed himself faithful to him in the midst of that, and we had seen and celebrated God's faithfulness together as God's faithfulness was seen to Paul and demonstrated through his life. Paul then left Corinth and returned back to Antioch and reported to the church all that had happened on this second missionary journey, and now preparing to set out for a third missionary journey. And we pick up the account at verse 23, and we'll be reading to the end of the chapter. After spending some time in Antioch, where he went back and reported to the home church, Paul sent out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man and had a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew about the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more accurately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word and its truth and its power. There indeed is power in the name of Jesus, and there's power in your word to change and transform our lives. This morning, we've come before you to hear your word. So encourage us, show us those areas of our life where we need to be built up, where that construction work needs to be taken place so that we can become more like you. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name, amen. Well, just a couple weeks ago, Kim and I were driving down to Tennessee to go to the Smoky Mountains, a drive we know well, driving down 81, and we take that drive down 81. We're all excited to get to the Smokies and get there, and I know you're ready to get to Tennessee, right? And all of a sudden, there is this sign that says, construction zone ahead. Have you ever had those signs where you run into construction ahead, and you're like, oh, man, because it's going to delay you, you're going to get stuck in traffic, it can be frustrating. Or if you're driving around Lancaster City and you get into all that construction on Route 30 and 222, can't construction be a pain? When you get in times of construction, how do you respond to that? Do you get frustrated? Do you get agitated? Do you get impatient? No? Good, I'm glad. Some of us do. But yet, it can get upset because it slows us down, it impedes our progress. But the end result of the construction is an improved roadway. The things are to get better as you go through the construction because improvements are in the works. As Christians, you see this sign under construction, and it frustrates you maybe, but as Christians, we are under construction. God is at work in our life. He is building us. He is remaking us. He is refining us and improving our lives each day. And as Christians, we find ourselves being remade and being reconstructed by the Holy Spirit and the work of God within us. This morning, we meet a new man introduced in the scripture here in the book of Acts named Apollos. Apollos was a man who was a gifted preacher. He was a well-educated man from the city of Alexandria, which was in Egypt. It was the second largest city, a very influential city outside of Rome. In fact, it was known for a big library. It was a city of great learning. This great Alexandria library was located there. The Jews in Alexandria had translated the Old Testament into Greek, and it was a place of great learning and study and understanding. And that's where Apollos was from. He was a gifted communicator and speaker and well taught. But yet he comes to the city of Ephesus. When he arrives at Ephesus, he meets Aquila and Priscilla, who we met last week, who were tent makers along with Paul. And Paul taught and discipled them how to grow in the faith. And they meet Aquila and Priscilla, and Aquila and Priscilla realize that this guy needed some construction work. Because he was teaching, and he was teaching about Jesus from the scriptures, and he was very gifted and eloquent, but he was only teaching about the baptism of John. He was missing part of the story. And his life needed some construction of the Holy Spirit, some changes and some work in him to make him where he needed to be. And it's the same with us, that God's Holy Spirit at work within us needs to do some construction in us, because we are all Christians under construction. And as much as we may hate those construction zones, they do have a benefit at the end of making us making improvements. So this morning we want to discover quickly three construction principles from this story on what God is doing, because you and I are all under construction. And what is he doing in our life? First principle we discover is the need for construction. And we see that illustrated in verses 23 through 25, when Apollos arrives there and he meets Aquila and Priscilla. But we have a need for instruction because we all need to be built up. Notice in verse 22, it said, Paul left Antioch after the second missionary journey was complete. After reporting to the church, he set out on the third, and he set back and began to go through Galatia, where the first missionary journey was, where the Christians in Lystra, Iconium, and Derbe, and he began to go back to the churches there, and it said that he strengthened and encouraged all the disciples. Why? Because they needed to be built up in the faith. And you and I need that work of construction, because we all need to be built up. We all need someone speaking into us or coming alongside of us and building up our faith and encouraging us to keep running the race, don't we? We all need that. We all need that strengthening, because living the Christian life can be weary. It's a marathon, and we can get tired and we can get weary in that race, and we need to be strengthened in our faith to keep going, to keep growing closer, to keep running that race with diligence and perseverance. And so that's why we have that need of construction. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he said to them, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact you're doing. And they were doing that. They were building each other up. And he said, continue to do that, because we all need to be strengthened in our faith. And aren't you thankful when someone comes along to you and encourages you and builds you up? Doesn't that give you the strength you need? So we need that, but we also need to be under construction, because we are all a work in progress. No matter how long you and I have been believers, there's nobody here that has arrived in total Christ-likeness yet. We're all a continual work in progress. We're all continuing to grow. And that's where it was with Apollos in verses 24 to 25. It said that whenever he was a great teacher, he knew the scriptures well. Luke says that he was very knowledgeable with the scriptures, and he taught the faith accurately. He taught with the scriptures accurately, but yet he was missing something. He only knew about the baptism of John. What did that mean? It meant that he didn't know all the story. He didn't know how God was at work. And he knew what the scripture said, that the Messiah was going to come. He knew about the baptism of John. The baptism of John was a baptism of repentance. And he knew that the scriptures had said the Messiah was going to come, but he did not know that Jesus had actually come and fulfilled that. And he needed to be taught the rest of the story and to be filled in. And you and I are under construction because we're still a work in progress. We don't know all the story. No matter how long you and I have been a believer, there's still things in the Word of God, and there's still things about God that you and I don't know. You believe that? There's still things. It's a lifetime of discovery, of trying to figure out who God is and what the Word of God has to say in our life. Because we don't know it all. We don't know all the story. And we only know as we continue to grow in it. And we're a work in progress. We're still under construction. We're still being built up in our faith to be who God wants us to be. We don't know all the story, and we need improvement. And that's part of what construction's supposed to do, to make things better, to improve. And we all need improvement in our life because we all have growth areas. We all have those areas where we struggle with. Maybe with our temper, maybe with bitterness, maybe with whatever it is, impatience. But we all struggle with things that we continue to need to grow in. And so we need that construction. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, and we think of the great apostle Paul as a man who was godly and a man who had a very good relationship with Christ, and he did. But he said in Philippians 3, beginning in verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his suffering and becoming like him in his death, and somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. But listen, in verse 12, he said, not that I have already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of for me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and pressing toward what is ahead, I press on towards to win the prize for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And he said, all of us who are mature should have the same attitude. The great apostle Paul, as godly as a man as he was, he said, I haven't even attained where I need to be. I'm not even close to becoming like knowing Jesus as much as I want to. And if the apostle Paul said that, how much more is that true of us? That we're all that work of progress, continuing to grow in our faith. We all need that improvement for the Holy Spirit to do his refining work in us. And so how does he do it? Through construction. Through that process that we may not like. Because we are Christians, and we are a Christian under construction. And the good news is God isn't finished with me yet. Because I have my growth areas. And we all have those parts of our life that frustrate other people. I have things in my life that frustrate Kim. We have things in our life that frustrate each other. We all do. But, you know, and we can get upset about that. But the good thing is God's not done with me yet. He's not done with you yet. And he's continuing to do his construction work in us to build us into making us who we need to be. Because I am currently under construction. So thank you for your patience. You know, I need to remember that when I go through construction, you know, to have patience and to be patient with people and to show them grace when they frustrate us, because they're under construction too. And we need to show patience with each other because we're all a work in progress as God's Holy Spirit has continued to do that. So pardon the mess, we're under construction and God's not done with us yet. We have a need for construction because we're all a work in progress. Secondly, and that's what was happening with Apollos. He didn't fully understand. He didn't know all the story. As great as a man as he was, as great as an eloquent speaker as he was, as great as educated as he was, he still needed improvement. He still needed to know the whole story of who Jesus was. Second principle we see is the process. But notice Philippians 1:6. Says, I am certain that God who began a good work within you will continue his work until it is fully finished on the day of Christ. So God isn't finished with us yet. We're still a work in progress, but he will complete it. And there will be a time when the construction will be done when we get to heaven, and he will complete his work in us. But we see the process of construction secondly. How does this take place? How does God construct us and refine us and make us who we need to be? Look at verse 26. As Aquila and Priscilla heard Apollos speak, they were impressed with his knowledge of the scripture and how accurate he was and how gifted he was as a communicator. But they realized he needed some improvement, needed some help, that things had to be constructed in his life. So he began to speak boldly in verse 26, and when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they invited him then to their home and explained to him the way of God more accurately. What's the process for construction? The process for construction, we see that God is working in you. He is doing our work. He is doing the work in us to make us who we need to be. But it is done through people. It's done through constructive instruction. And I noticed you used that word intentionally, constructive instruction. Because God brings people into our life to instruct us or to correct us if we're wrong or we need to be refined. And some people, in doing that and in sharing things with us or correcting us, can be very destructive, can't they? Some people can be very destructive in the criticism or help they say they're bringing to you. Oh, I'm only concerned about you, and I'm only saying this because I want to help you. But they can be very destructive in it. But we're to be constructive in it because we're under constructing, building each other up. And that's what Aquila and Priscilla did here. They were constructive in their instruction. They invited them into their house. They listened to him. And they shared more accurately where he didn't fully understand. That is how God works in construction. He does it because through others, because we need others to help us grow. We need others to point out those growth spots in our life where we still don't have what we need, where we still, that construction needs to be done. And we need people to point those things out to us and to point our growth areas. Turn with me into Galatians chapter 2, and we'll see that here in the Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul did that to Peter. And here you have Peter, one of the innermost three disciples of Jesus. He came to the city of Antioch and from Jerusalem because he heard what was happening there. And before he arrived in chapter 2, you read this, before he arrived there, before Barnabas arrived, he would eat with the Jews. He'd eat with the Gentiles along with the Jews, and he would eat together with the Gentile believers. But then a Barnabas arrived, and when Barnabas arrived, he wouldn't eat with them anymore. And Barnabas was led astray. And so Paul said to them in verse 14, when I saw that they were not acting in the truth of the gospel, Barnabas was led astray through Peter as well. And he said, I said to Peter in front of them all, you are a Jew, and yet you are acting like a Gentile. How is it not a Jew? How then can you force Gentiles to face Jewish customs? So Paul here showed the blind spot to Peter that he was being hypocritical. And he pointed that out in his life and said, you know, you're not acting in line with the gospel here. And we need, when they have those growth spots in our life, we need others to point them out to us in constructive ways and say, you know, that's an area of your life you really need to surrender to Christ, or you need to grow more like Christ in. That's how the growth happens, through others, because we need others to help us grow. We need others to help us mature. In Ephesians chapter 4, we read there, beginning in verse 11 through 16, it said that it was the Lord who gave some to be apostles and some to be pastors and evangelists and pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity and knowledge of the faith in the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the full measure of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and cunningness of craftiness of men, their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ, and him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows as each one builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So Paul is saying there, as we all work together and use the gifts God's given us, we all grow to maturity. That's how that construction happens. We need each other. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says, therefore, we must consider how we may spur each other on and encourage each other in the faith all the more as we see the day approaching. So we need others to help us grow. But when we're correcting someone, we need to do it gently, lovingly, and patiently, privately. Notice what Aquila and Priscilla did. It said they invited him to their home. They didn't go in the synagogue where Apollos was teaching, and he was teaching in the synagogue publicly, but they didn't stand up in front of everybody and say, Apollos, you're wrong. You don't have a full understanding of the scripture. Let me show you where you're wrong. No, they didn't do it that way. They invited him to their home, and they privately gently showed him where he was in error and helped him understand and able to grow. That's what we need to do with others. Yes, that's why it's constructive. God uses that to help build construction in us. But when others lovingly point out privately, gently, and lovingly those areas where we need to grow. Because we need each other to do that, because we often are blind to those things ourselves. So a constructive criticism, we all need others to help us grow. But secondly, we grow through a teachable spirit. The second part of construction is teachable spirit, because it says in verse 26, it doesn't record for us Apollos' response. Luke doesn't record it, but I can only read into and affirm that Apollos gladly received what Aquila and Priscilla had to share with him. He didn't say, well, I'm highly educated, I'm more knowledgeable of the scripture than you, I'm not listening to you. No, he received it. We know that because verse 27 says that then he went on and began to teach and began to encourage with the full understanding of the gospel. So he had a teachable spirit, and he accepted what Aquila and Priscilla had to say to him. And when someone comes and shares with you an area where they see an area in need of growth, a teachable spirit is, okay, I'm taking that from the Lord. I accept that. I need to grow in that area. That's a construction area in my life that God needs to do. See, we call that teachability. And teachability is an essential quality that we look for. And when I serve in the Pastoral Assessment Center every year, when we're assessing potential men and women, their wives for ministry and pastors, they have to have teachability, a teachable spirit, that when we speak into them, they're willing to accept these things as from God or to see where they may be wrong. And it's also what we look for in the Board of Examiners as we're getting to license a pastor or ordain them. And it must be present. A teachable spirit must be present, or it's an automatic knockout. If someone doesn't have a teachable spirit, it's an automatic knockout. We say, no, you can't go any farther. Because it's the way in which God works in us through constructive instruction shared in a gentle way to help us all grow in the faith. And we see that demonstrated in Apollos. So we see the need for construction, the process of construction, and thirdly, the results of construction. What happens when God does this constructive work in our life? Well, we see it here in verses 27 and 28. Apollos then went to Achaia, and the brothers encouraged him and wrote a note to the disciples to welcome him there. And when he arrived there, he was a great help to those who by the grace of God believed. And he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate and proved to show that Jesus truly was the Christ. He understood then. And he grew. And he understood who Jesus was. The results of construction when God does his work in us is we grow in our faith. We grow in our faith and we become more mature. We are built up in him. And that happened with Apollos. He grew in his understanding of the scripture. Others are built up. And it said there that others were encouraged. He was a great help to those who believed. And others are encouraged when they see what God does in your life and when the growth happens and you're a blessing to them. And we grow in our faith and God is glorified. And God was glorified and many people had come to know Christ and the church continued to grow. This is a picture of Ruth Bell Graham's graveside, where she's buried at the Billy Graham Library. Those of you gone on the trip will see her tomb. It's just a simple graveside marker. Billy's is the same. That's what they wanted, nothing fancy. But there's a saying on her tombstone. You can't really, maybe not read it, so I typed it at the bottom there so you can read it. And that's what she wanted engraved on her tombstone. End of construction. Thank you for your patience. And say, well, why would she want that on her grave, on her tombstone? Well, one day, Ruth Graham was driving from Montreat, North Carolina, to Asheville, North Carolina, on Interstate 40, going west towards Asheville, and she got into a construction zone. And the construction zone slowed her down, and she got to the end of the construction zone, because it was held up, and the traffic was backed up. At the end of the construction zone was this sign that said, "End of construction. Thank you for your patience." Thanking the people for being patient and understanding during the time of construction. And Ruth saw that and she said, "You know, that's what I want on my tombstone when I die. Because we're under construction until the day when God calls us home and that construction is complete and it's ended then." And so as we're all under construction, we need to say to each other, "Thank you for your patience. I'm gone through construction. When it's ended, we can celebrate that and God is glorified." And God is glorified in it. So we're under construction. God's not done with us yet. Let him do his work through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we're not done yet. You have work to do in all of us. None of us have arrived. No matter how long we've been believers, no matter how long we've walked with you, none of us can get proud. Or none of us can get arrogant and think we know it all, because we don't. None of us can say that we've arrived there. Even the Apostle Paul said, "I haven't even attained this yet." And Lord, we're all still under construction and a work in progress. We thank you that we're not what we used to be, but we're not what we're going to be either. And so Lord, we thank you for the process that you've ordained in your word, and that's by using others to help us grow, to speak into us in constructive ways, not destructive ways, but constructive ways, to help us get a fuller understanding of where we need to grow in those growth spots in our life, where we need to deal and bring them under your control. And so, Lord, may we be patient and gracious with each other in those things that may frustrate us about one another that we still need to grow through, because, Lord, we all have them. But we know that someday at the end, when construction is complete and we stand before you, we can rejoice in what you've done and your work within us. So Lord, thank you for bringing people into our life through whom, Lord, you speak, through whom, Lord, we can encourage one another and strengthen each other up to continue to run the race with perseverance that has been marked out for us through your word. So thank you, Lord, for your truth, your scripture, your word that is practical for our life and gives us instruction, reminding us of that simple truth that we're not under construction. You're still under construction. You're still doing your work in us. And we know that your word says that you will carry it on into completion in that day of Christ Jesus. That's when it will be completed. Until then, do your work in us and through us, in our life, and use us to help others grow in their faith, that they too may become the people of God you want us to be. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.